1 Peter 1:3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into the inheritance that we can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Through the faith we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you may not have seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for this time on Easter Sunday to think about your word. We pray that you would meet with each one of us. Please give us a firm foundation for faith. And please plant deep in our hearts the joys of Easter. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's how Peter starts his great letter. I wonder what the most joyful moments of your life have been. Let me share some of mine. One is passing the driving test. I'm not going to tell you the horrendous number of lessons I had to have. I'm not going to tell you about the earlier test where I was certified D for dangerous on the road. But when eventually an examiner uttered those words, "You've passed," what joy filled my heart, freedom at last, to go where I wanted to. Another was my wedding day. All my family and friends were there. I was committing with a woman of my dreams to love each other for the rest of our lives. And despite my crippling nerves about the first dance, which was coming later that day, it was a joyful, joyful moment. And then, of course, there was the birth of our children. After hours of sweat, hard work and pain. I'm talking about the dad's experience. Gather it's not easy for the mum either. To hold our children and to see them, it was a moment of jubilation. Well, at times like that, we expect people to be joyful. But what surprises us in life is when a person is suffering, when a person is having a hard time, when they're going through the mill, and still they are full of joy. And that is what we find in this book of 1 Peter. It's a letter written by Peter, Jesus' disciple. And when Peter wrote this letter, he was in Rome, and he was facing execution, a horrendous execution. And he was writing to Christians who were scattered throughout the Roman Empire, and they were facing insult and abuse and persecution. But as Peter writes, he is full of joy, and he wants his readers to be full of joy as well. And that's not because Peter is insensitive or unrealistic. It's because he knows the joy of the risen Jesus. And so this morning we're going to focus, in fact, just on this one verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And whether we currently believe or not, I want us to understand what gave Peter such joy. And we're going to see in this verse three reasons to praise God, even in the midst of suffering. And the first is a real resurrection. Praise God because of a real resurrection. So Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You notice that Peter's praise rests on the resurrection of Jesus. There is no doubt that Peter believed that Jesus' resurrection is a fact in history. He had been there himself on the first Easter Sunday, and ever since he had been willing to suffer, even to die, for proclaiming the truth that Christ rose. Now, many dismiss the resurrection as simply impossible. But it is actually better to ask, what is it that convinced Peter and the other disciples that God had done this unique thing? And actually, we heard in our reading from John's Gospel, which Jonah and Molly gave us at the start of the service, what it was that convinced Peter and the other disciples. There's no need for us to turn to it now, but did you notice in John's Easter account that the disciples were not expecting Jesus to rise? They were not naive. They weren't foolish. They knew the facts of death as well as we do. In fact, they knew them better. They knew that once you die, sadly, you stay dead. Peter and the other disciples were not expecting Jesus to rise. They had to be convinced by hard evidence, and that is what they found. So first, Peter and that other disciple came to Jesus' tomb, and they found it empty, but with the burial cloths which had been around Jesus' body still in it. And you can imagine as they looked in, the cogs whirring in their head. Have we come to the wrong tomb? Well, no, because the cloths are there. Or has the body been stolen? Well, no, the cloths and the valuable spices they contain is what the thieves would have wanted. They think, well, have the authorities moved the body? Well, no, they would never have unwrapped it. And they're thinking, what then has happened here today? And for Peter, that was the first piece of evidence, the empty tomb. But for him, the clincher was meeting the risen Jesus. Again, we heard it in John's Easter account, how on the evening of the first Easter Sunday, the disciples were together. And they had the doors locked. They were terrified of the authorities. And Jesus came and stood among them. You see, Peter saw the risen Jesus. He spoke with him. He touched him. On many occasions he met with him. He ate with him. This is what persuaded Peter. It's what transformed the disciples from terrified fugitives to people willing to suffer and die for their message that Jesus rose. It was seeing the empty tomb and meeting the risen Jesus. And it was convincing stuff. If we had been there, we would have been convinced as well. A real resurrection. I love the story of Lee Strobel. He was an atheist and he was the legal editor of the Chicago Tribune newspaper. And his wife became a Christian believer. And Lee Strobel wrote that two words shot through his head. The first was an expletive that we can't really mention in a sermon like this. And then the second word that shot through his head was divorce. But he was actually impressed by the impact that her faith had on his wife's life. And he decided to investigate for himself the evidence of the resurrection in order to study it. And he made a detailed study of the transformation in the disciples and their reasons for believing that Jesus rose. And he found himself convinced that the resurrection really happened. So if you're with us today and you're not a believer, I want to challenge you to look into the evidence. Pick up one of these booklets, The Evidence for the Resurrection, as a gift from us there at the back, and read it over Bank Holiday Monday. The more you look into it, the more reasons you will find to believe that the resurrection of Jesus is real. And if you're a believer, I want to encourage you that your faith rests on a firm foundation, on solid ground, on a real resurrection. And that is a reason to praise God in the midst of suffering. So for Peter, the resurrection of Jesus was a fact in history. But for Peter, it wasn't just a fact in history. It was also something which transformed life today. And this takes us to our second reason to praise God. A real resurrection, but also a fresh start. So praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, writes Peter. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus can give us a fresh start, a new birth. Now, many people long for a fresh start. If only I could have a fresh start at school, they think. If only I could begin again in my career. If only I could have a fresh start with that friendship or with my spouse even. Well, Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose again so that we can have the most important fresh start of all. A fresh start with God. You see, we've all of us turned away from God's love. We have broken in our lives his holy laws. Really, we've tried to live in God's world as if God didn't matter and we were in charge. And the result of this is that we hurt ourselves, we damage people around us, and we face God's just judgment for the way we have treated him. But Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins, to wash away our wrongdoing, and he rose again to give us new life with God. Kingsley Amis was a famous author in the 20th century, and he was interviewed on BBC television shortly before he died. He was not a believer, but he said this. He said, "The great thing about Christianity is that you can have your sins forgiven." And then he paused for a long time, and while the camera was still rolling, he bowed his head. And then he continued, "I mean, I carry my sins around with me. There's no one to forgive them." Now, that is such a tragedy, because Jesus Christ died and rose again precisely so that anyone who puts their trust in him can have that burden lifted from them, can have their sins washed away, and be given a fresh start with God. And Peter tells us that this fresh start is nothing less than a new birth. Like a butterfly emerging from the chrysalis, when we put our trust in Christ, we emerge into a whole new life. So when we trust in him, Jesus gives us a new heart, a new heart which loves God. And he gives us a new power, the Holy Spirit within, who enables us to break free from old patterns of life and to live a holy life. And when we trust in him, Christ gives us a new family, brothers and sisters to love and to be loved by. And he gives us as well a new purpose to live our lives to show how great our Savior is. So this is what Jesus Christ offers us. Whoever we are, whatever our background might be, whatever we've done, he offers us a fresh start with God. And believers, this is what he has given us, a new life to live for him. So says Peter, even in the midst of trials and suffering, we can praise God for a real resurrection, a fresh start, and third of all, a certain future. That verse once again, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, these days, when we say hope, we mean an uncertain wish. But in the Bible, a hope is a certain future. I think it's fair to say that our culture tries not to think about death. We try to ignore it. But we find through painful experience that it keeps intruding on us. The film director Woody Allen famously joked, "It's not that I'm afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens." Everyone laughed. But did you know, a little later he continued, "It's utterly stupefying in its terror, and it renders anyone's achievements meaningless. He was afraid of death, like so many. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives his followers a living hope, a certain future. When Christ rose again, he defeated death. He came through death and out the other side. And so he promises to all who trust in him that he will bring us through death and into eternal life with him. And it's a promise which rests on a firm foundation, the resurrection of Jesus in history. I was very touched to read of one Christian man who had just retired from work when he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And in facing death, he said to family and friends, "The best is yet to come." He continued, I can't say I look forward to the last bit of the journey, but I know that beyond that, I will be with Christ. The best is yet to come. Now, was that just empty optimism? No, it was based on the solid fact of the resurrection of Jesus. Was it pride for him to be so confident in heaven? Well, no, because he was not relying on his own deeds, but on God's mercy freely given to all who trust in Christ. Now, believers, we need to keep reminding ourselves that we have this certain future. It's not like an insurance policy that you file and forget. It's a living hope, a hope that should be living and active in us. We must say to ourselves each day, I have a future ahead of me of life with Jesus. And every day that future is a day closer. Let this hope live in you, brothers and sisters. The last few days and weeks, we have suffered the death of precious members of our church family, and we miss them so much, and we grieve with their families. But in the midst of pain, we have this confidence. They are alive with Christ, their risen Saviour. They are living our certain future. And we have seen in them and in their loved ones what it means to have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is what Christ offers to all who trust in him, a certain future. Well, as we finish, I want to ask, where does this leave you personally? I know that many of us here know the risen Jesus and we've put our trust in him. And if that's you, let me encourage you. You may find yourself at the moment like Peter, and like his first readers, facing trials and grief and hard times. But like Peter and his first readers, you also have reasons to praise God. A real resurrection, a fresh start, and a certain future. Easter is such an encouragement, but it's also a challenge to those of us who believe. Because it challenges us to live out the new life we have been given. So believers, you have a new heart. Use it to love God. You have been given a new power, the Holy Spirit within. Use the Spirit to fight the old way of life and to live in holiness. Jesus has given you a new family. Love your brothers and sisters and let them love you. And he has given you a new purpose. To live your life for his glory. And many of us know the risen Jesus, but perhaps others of us are considering it. You're considering putting your trust in him. Well, putting your trust in Christ is a big commitment. It means living a new life with him in charge. It's a big commitment, but it is a wonderful commitment. Because it is only Jesus who gives us life with God now and forever. So if you are considering it, do take one of these Evidence for the Resurrection booklets to read for yourself. And in May, we will be holding a Christianity Explored course here at church. It's especially designed for those who are considering taking the most important step in life, the step of following Jesus. And you can see all the information on these cards, which are also at the back. But perhaps there is someone here who is ready to believe today. There is no better day than Easter Sunday to put our trust in the risen Jesus. So in a moment, I'm going to pray, and you could echo this prayer in your heart to put your trust in him. A moment of quiet, and then let's pray. Dear Jesus, I am sorry for the ways I have rejected your love and broken your laws. Thank you that you died on the cross and rose again so that I can have a fresh start and a certain future. Help me now to live that new life with you in charge and to look forward to my future with you. Amen.